Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity once again to gather together and to get into your word. Help us now as we continue studying about this word education and how we can learn from everything that we need to know to be able to live the kind of life you want us to live in order to bring honor and glory to you by studying your word and by listening up to the Holy Ghost. We thank you so much for that. Lead, guide, direct all this as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word education, let's turn to John chapter 16. We can further see some of the teachings from our Lord Jesus Christ, where it reads, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Now this offense he's speaking of here is kind of talking about being surprised or being discouraged, as well as offended, in that he's letting us know that there are going to be obstacles. Just because you become a born-again Christian doesn't mean everything's going to be peaceful and beautiful and without any challenges in this realm and during this time. He's letting us know, as he has already in his teachings, that there's going to be some persecutions, there's going to be some hardships, there's going to be some challenging times, there's going to be some dangerous times as well. As he continues, he lets us know. Verse 2, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." That twisted delusion that many will have once they turn against the Lord and start following Satan, and Satan twists their mind into thinking that Christians are evil rather than good, where he clearly tells us Old Testament and New Testament, where they claim that good is evil and evil is good. We clearly see that going on in the world today. But as he continues, "And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." There's the reason. They do not know the Father or Jesus Christ. And that is why they turn against you, because they only know Satan. And Satan is completely against the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou?" Now he's really pointing out here the level of understanding that they had prior to receiving the Holy Ghost, and that after receiving the Holy Ghost, they're going to have the enlightenment, the awareness of what's happened and what is going to happen. Verse 6, "But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." Of course, he's speaking of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that indwells us once we receive Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin," or expose and convince the world that there is sin. He will reveal the fact that there is right and wrong. He is the one that does the work of convicting someone to where they feel like they have done something wrong and need repentance. "And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment." He will reveal sin, he will reveal righteousness, he will reveal judgment. He will let people know what is right and what is wrong, and that there is accountability for what they have done. That is all within us by power of the Holy Ghost. Some call it a conscience. And he is the force behind that. Verse 9, "Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. He speaks to us by the way of the Holy Ghost. They could not bear it yet because they were not indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, another name for the Holy Ghost, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Revealing the prophecies, revealing the things to come, the things that they are going to encounter, the things that they're going to be going through, the challenges, the information that they need, the guidance that they need, the comfort that they need, the courage that they need, the bold, all that comes by way of the Holy Ghost. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It's awesome that we have that kind of relationship, that the Holy Ghost comes into us and helps us commune with the Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. All three are united and connected, and when we receive Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes into us, His Spirit connects with our spirit, brings our spirit back to life, and then begins a connection, a communication, a way to be able to communicate directly to the Father. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Here he's given him another little clue, another little bit of prophecy concerning his death and his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. See, even though he had told them that he was going to be killed and raised again the third day, he's already told them that, but they didn't really receive it. They didn't really hear it. They didn't understand it yet. They couldn't comprehend it. Verse 18, they said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? He cannot tell what he's, we cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Still kind of cloaked in a little mystery the way he's answering them there, but letting them know that there's going to be some sadness, and they were very, very sad when the Lord was crucified, but the joy was beyond speakable, beyond what we could comprehend when we see the risen Christ. They were able to see him face to face right there after his resurrection, and that's the kind of joy he's speaking of here. Verse 21, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. And he's talking about a pregnant woman fixing to have a baby. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He's letting them know, and us as well, that we need to step up. We need to ask Him for what we need. Ask Him for what we want. He wants to give us what we need and what we want when it's to our benefit and within His will. These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, or parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. That revelation, that enlightenment, that awareness that He's able to communicate to us directly by way of the Holy Ghost. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. Verse 26 here is speaking of how when the finished work of Jesus Christ is completed, we then have a direct communication to the Father by way of the Holy Ghost within us, Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father, connected to the Father. He also speaks about how we can call Him Daddy or Papa, the word Abba. That relationship will be available to us. It isn't that we have to wait for Jesus to step up and speak to the Father for us, because that's the way it was set up before. There was a mediator. There was someone who had to go. The high priest would go in order to reach the Father. They would do the sacrifices and the rituals and so forth. The middleman's been cut out in that sense, because we become one with Jesus Christ, and the middleman is within us by way of the Holy Ghost. So we have direct, constant communication to the Father. And that's what he's speaking of here. Verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Because he just told them that he came from the Father. So they're saying, okay, now we know you came from the Father. Like, all that time they've been with him. But yet they hadn't figured that out yet. Now they say, okay, now we get it. It's amazing what a change that was made within them once they received the Holy Ghost. And Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? And he's questioning them. Now you think you're really ready? Now you really think you have the boldness, the courage, the real belief? And he points something out. But not yet indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. And he's talking about when he gets arrested and taken in to be crucified, the way they all flee from him. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Therefore, by our association with him, we are conquerors as well. All right, now turn on over to Acts chapter 1, and we see here the event taking place of the ascension, and the Lord giving them a little bit more information, teaching us a little more here in the book of Acts, chapter 1, where it reads, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Notice, through the Holy Ghost. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his resurrection, before his ascension, he stuck around some 40 days, still preaching and teaching and enlightening them with more and more information. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now this baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking of totally being enveloped by the Holy Ghost. That's why when we perform the baptism in water, we completely submerge someone in the water, representing the grave and coming out of that grave. Resurrection, representing Jesus Christ's resurrection. And when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost, we are completely enveloped with the Holy Ghost. He comes into us and is all around us. Verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. This is an important thing for all of us to remember. We try to figure the dates out. We try to analyze the Bible in a way that's going to tell us exactly the date of his return and the establishment of the millennial kingdom and the eternal state and even the rapture, so forth. But we're not given those dates specifically for a reason, because that would completely alter our behavior and we would not have the right kind of attitude even. So we need to know that it could be any moment, and we need to also know that we need to be continuously at the task of spreading the gospel, because it might not be at the very next moment. Verse 7 again. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That's part of that great commission. That's that awesome opportunity that he is going to give us to be able to go out and preach and teach the gospel, to educate others about Jesus Christ and the gospel, the good news of salvation. As he gave us the great commission over there in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That all power given to him is actually given back to him, because he laid down some of that power when he come down, took on flesh, lived amongst us. But once his finished work, all that power comes back to him. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's our commission, to go and educate the world. Everyone that you have any kind of encounter with should go away knowing that you're a Christian. There are opportunities that come our way every single day that we miss out on, that we don't have the courage, the boldness, the awareness of the opportunity. We need to have the boldness to be able to step up when we become aware of an opportunity. That boldness can come to us by way of the Holy Ghost. Challenging, yes. Scary, yes. But think about it. Pray about it. I'm sure there's times that you can look back on in your life and know that I missed that opportunity. Many times, just moments after you walk away from someone in an encounter with someone, that you think, oh, I should have said this, or I could have said that. I should have invited him to church. I should have handed him a Bible tract. I should have mentioned Jesus Christ. I should have said, I experienced this or that. Many, many opportunities that are given to us that we could step up and do a work that the Lord has available for us. Let's take those opportunities. He tells us to do that. He gives us that chance to be able to do that in order to win more and more blessings, to earn more and more blessings and more rewards that we can utilize now and for eternity. So let's be very alert, very aware of our surroundings at all times and take those opportunities that come our way, because we have the Holy Ghost within us and He is powerful. He can give us the understanding and wisdom and give us the words that we need in those moments to be able to do it right. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That great commission, that great opportunity, that great responsibility as well. We have that awesome responsibility and opportunity to be able to go out and preach and teach the gospel. Just take that and go on out and do it. Because we know that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, there was an instant change in them, as recorded over there in Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. That indwelling Spirit came upon them. That enlightenment came upon them. That gift of being able to communicate to others came upon them. And it changed them. It changed them all instantly. It gave them such wisdom and understanding, such boldness and courage, a fearlessness. And it's rare to see that kind of boldness and fearlessness in people these days, especially with the things that are going on right now in the country, with the increase of persecutions and with this coronavirus stuff that's going on. There's a lot of cowering and fear. And there's a lot of sad testimonies out there right now. Some of the so-called Christians that are so filled with fear. It's very saddening to see that. They don't understand what they have access to. They don't understand that if you truly trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you don't have to be afraid of anything or anyone. So step on up with boldness. Be different. Stand out as being the one who is courageous, is bold, and preach and teach that gospel every opportunity that comes your way. Because they are not only opportunities, they're responsibilities. After all, look what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's use His life as our example. No other man, no preacher, no teacher, nobody else. Don't look up to anybody else but Jesus Christ. He is our example. And His indwelling Spirit that comes into us can give us everything that we need to be able to go out and share what He has given to us and be able to teach others what He has taught us. And that's a wonderful opportunity. Let's take that opportunity. And don't let this country or anywhere in the world keep you from doing that. Step on up boldly and do that. Don't cower in fear. Way too many scared Christians out there. Sad to say, I see them continuously. And it's a pitiful testimony for all those cowering in fear Christians that I've seen and encountered. Step on up. Don't be afraid. After all, if you're truly a born-again Christian, you know where you're going when you leave this world. And you know you're going to receive blessings, even if you're persecuted, as long as you're doing a work for the Lord. That's why we're here. We're not here just to have a nice, peaceful, wonderful life with all the blessings the Lord can give us and be selfish. No. Share all that. Give it all away to others. Give with love and concern for others. Those are the opportunities. And the giving, I'm not talking about just give all your money away. I'm talking about giving the blessings that the Lord has given you. And that is the understanding. That is the wisdom. That is the light that is within you that comes from Jesus Christ. The love that is within you. That's what we need to give. And that's what we need to teach others about. That's the wonderful opportunity that He has given us. Let's do that. Let's take that opportunity to do that very thing. Now, as we further study this, we'll be looking at some of the encounters that these newly indwelt Christians, true born-again Christians, have gone out and start to share the gospel and start to teach. And the government comes up against them saying, no, you can't do that. And they say, yes, we can. And one of the verses that we'll be covering, I really love this one here, where Peter proclaims in verse 29, Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's something that we need to look at right now. They've got these laws and this stuff saying, oh, you can't meet in church. Oh, you can't do this. Oh, you can't sing in church. No, you can't do that. But what are we going to say? Oh, okay, you're the authority. No, we're going to say we ought to obey God rather than men. Step up boldly, proclaim Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Teach every opportunity that comes your way and be a fearless Christian and share the gospel. Spread that education that is available to us with others. It is our opportunity as well as our obligation. Let's do it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity you've given us to be able to study once again your word. Help us now as we go out into the world to take what you have given us with boldness, to go on out and share it with others, to do that great commission you have given us, to go out and teach the gospel, to teach others about the opportunity to be able to be a part of your family and be able to have the strength, the courage, the boldness to be able to step up and proclaim you as our Lord and Savior every opportunity that comes our way. We thank you so much for all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank y'all.